So the epistle for Passion Sunday is taken from Hebrews chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, and the ashes of a heifer, being sprinkled, sanctified such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day, and he said it, and it was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am. They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Please be seated. You have nailed the salvation of the world to the wood of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we start Passiontide, and as I mentioned to you, those of you that helped, you covered the statues, you covered the images, because one, it wants us to try to draw our attention to our Lord Jesus Christ and his passion. And so the purple veils, obviously we see purple signifies penance, it signifies for us to mortify ourselves. And so the veiling of the crosses and the statues, it reminds us of the fact that the church is in mourning. Mourning over what our Lord suffered. And so it directs our attention to that. It covers up all of the other images in a way that might distract us from this main purpose now. And it has been the purpose of the entire period of Lent, and even we can say the pre-Lenten period. We've been focusing on the passion of our Lord. But now that we enter these last two weeks are something that we should try to direct all of our attention as much as we can, to direct it upon the passion and the death of our Lord. The liturgy, for one, it flourishes in the liturgy. The idea of the cross, the understanding of what the cross means for us, that is throughout the liturgy at this point. And you'll see that in today's Mass. You'll read that in the Mass itself, helping us to see that the cross is our salvation. And so I encourage you to try to look for that in the office. It's in the Divine Office. It's in the Mass itself. For us to understand, the cross is our salvation. It is by the cross that our Lord redeemed the world. We say that at the Stations of the Cross. Hopefully you've been able to take advantage of that. But we say that to remind us of the fact that by our Lord's death, by his death on the cross, that heaven was opened up again for us. It gave us a chance to get to heaven. And so that is why for us we should understand that the cross is so very important to us. And so in the preface of the Mass, I took a few words at the very beginning from it. But if you look at the preface of the Mass, it clearly sums up the whole idea of what we understand as the death on the cross. It says, you have nailed the salvation of the world to the wood of the cross, that from whence death was born, life also should be born, and that he who won his victory through a tree should be vanquished on a tree. And so how interesting that is that the church puts this out for us to meditate upon. How interesting that it is that it says, death was born from the tree. And we understand that obviously by Adam and Eve. The tree of life that she took the apple from Eve, death came into the world. That is why then we have the promise of the Redeemer. Because it was because of Eve's fall that she, you know, obviously also caused Adam to fall too. And it was because of this tree. And so how interesting that the church says that, that it says that because death came into the world by a tree, that death would be vanquished, would be conquered by a tree also. And that is the death of our Lord on the cross, the tree. And so how interesting that the church gives us that to meditate and think about. How interesting it is for us to contemplate this whole idea of death coming into the world because of a tree, but then death leaving this world, being conquered because of also a tree. And so it goes on to say that he that won his victory through a tree, though, should be vanquished by a tree. Vanquished in understanding that it wasn't like our Lord was defeated. Obviously not, he is God. But his death on the cross, we say that he won his victory because of this tree, but he also died because of this tree. How interesting the church gives us this to meditate upon. And as I say, in this time period of Passion Tide, how clearly it needs to be that we meditate upon that, that we think, as I say, how often it comes throughout the liturgy, this idea of the cross being our salvation, the cross helping us to win this chance for heaven again. And so it is a special time period of graces for us, of thinking how the cross is this source of graces. You see it throughout the sacraments, this idea of the cross. And so therefore it is prominent in Holy Mother the Church. And so for us, some dispositions that we should have, we should meditate upon the Passion. And hopefully we don't need, say, the movie, The Passion, to help us to meditate upon that. We have the beauty of the Gospels. We have the word of Almighty God about what our Lord suffered. That should be clear enough for us to understand. That should help us by meditating and thinking about the Gospels themselves. I encourage you to read the accounts of the Passion during this time period. Take advantage of it. And especially Holy Week. I mean, we call it Holy Week because of the graces that can be won during that time period. Well, try to spend some extra time reading Sacred Scripture. I encourage you to read the Gospels. Read the account of the Passion. See how the evangelists talk about the death of our Lord and what he suffered and what he went through. And then use that to meditate upon. That can help you. And that is one of the things that we should try to, during this time, to meditate upon the Passion of our Lord. Try to find a spiritual reading that deals with the Passion of our Lord. You know, these are the things that we need to try to understand about our spiritual life during this time. Meditating upon the Passion. But then also, I think it is good for us to have gratitude, to think and thank God for what he has done for us. There was nothing that our Lord had to do. It is the love of Almighty God for our souls that he brought the Redeemer into this world, that he promised the Redeemer for us. Did he have to do that? Absolutely not. Did he have to go through the death on the cross? No, not even that. But he accepted that as the will of his Father, that our Lord accepted that death on the cross, the ignominious death on the cross. And he was willing to suffer that. He was willing to undergo that for love of us. And so that is the thing, that the gratitude that we should have then. Be thankful to Almighty God for what he has given to us. And that should help us also to work on the contrition for our sins during this time period. As I mentioned to you, the obligation that we have to fulfill our Easter duty. And it shouldn't be even something that is said to us. It should be something that is natural to us to be receiving Holy Communion throughout the Sundays that we attend Mass, going to confession. But especially during this time period, these last 2 weeks, try to examine yourself to make a very good confession. As I say, There'll be plenty of opportunities for you, especially during Holy Week. You'll have that opportunity to go to confession, to prepare yourself for the great feast of Easter. But the gratitude that we have from God, it should help us then. It should give us this understanding of all that God has done for us. And the very least that we should do to repay him is preparing ourselves well for this feast. And so that helps us then to continue with our penances, our mortifications during this time period. If you haven't had the greatest Lent, okay, well, take advantage now. Take advantage of these last 2 weeks, Passiontide and then Holy Week, to really try to be faithful to what you gave up, what you're trying to do to be pleasing to God. It's a great time for us. Some of the spiritual authors, they talk about the idea of penthos, which is a mourning, a sorrow for our sins. It is this terminology that especially a lot of the desert fathers talked about. It is a sadness for offending Almighty God. And so through that sadness, through that penthos that they acquired, it helped them to have a greater contrition. It helped them to be sorry for their sins for the right reason. Because they offended Almighty God, they realized that their sins caused our Lord's death on the cross. That it is through each of the sins that we commit, we add to his sufferings. And that is truly what our Lord suffered in his agony. The sins of mankind, but then also those that will turn their back on our Lord. He saw all of that. And so it should be for us a greater time period of thinking and having greater contrition for our sins. You know, you think about during Holy Week, the sacred Triduum especially, Tenebrae, parts of the divine office that bring out this idea of darkness. Darkness because of sin. And the lamentations of that, the famous lamentations of Jeremiah the prophet, lamenting the fact that Jerusalem has turned its back on Almighty God. You know, asking the fact, Jerusalem, when will you convert? When will you come back to God? They're very famous. You'll find them in sacred scripture. So you'll find the lamentations of Jeremiah. Read through those. Again, trying to take advantage of what Holy Mother Church gives to us, you know, in sacred scripture. It is the word of God, the inspired word of Almighty God. Read through these things. I encourage you to read through, you know, the Lamentations, the Gospel. Read through these things to try to help you to understand, to help you to attain then this idea of this sadness for our sins, this penthos. We see it in the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that's one of the Beatitudes that, you know, we understand. These means that will help us to get to heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. They will be comforted by Almighty God. So we can say it is truly an expression of humility too. The awareness of our own conditions, of how we have offended Almighty God, of how weak we are, of how much we need God. And so through this time period, you know, yes, the cross is veiled, the statues are veiled, the images, all of these things are veiled for us. Because it reminds us of our Lord's death on the cross. It focuses on that point for us of how much that our Lord suffered, how much that our Lord went through for all of us, every single soul. I mean, what a grace for us. What a grace and an understanding for us. And especially if we can gain that penthos, if we can gain that mourning, that idea of sadness for offending God. It is a gift from God to be sorry for our sins. We talk about the gift of tears. Many of the desert fathers, if you've done any reading of them, they talk about this idea of the gift of tears. And is it necessary that we go into the confessional and we cry? You know, yes, Father, can you have a, you know, Kleenex box in here? You don't need that. And so that's not the kind of the true understanding of the gift of tears. It is a sadness for offending God. And not literally, in a sense, just a flood of tears come down. We certainly don't want the crocodile tears. And so it has to be an understanding, being truly sorry for your sins. I mean, that is what we're working toward. That is what we're trying to help us to understand. That is what we think about with perfect contrition. Sorry for our sins because they offended God, not just because of the punishment that is due. And so that is something that we must strive for. We must try to pray for. But as I say, it is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. It's interesting to see that some of the spiritual authors have said that salvation always threatened, never assured, and frequently lost. I mean, think about that. Salvation is always threatened because we can fall from the grace of God, because of weakness, because we fall into sin. And so therefore, it's never assured for us until our last breath. And then it's frequently lost. Frequently lost, why? Because we don't work with the grace of God. We turn our back on God's grace, and that is why we lose then salvation. And so these spiritual authors, these ones meditating upon these thoughts, they give us these thoughts to try to help us to grasp the idea of salvation, how important it is for us. And so they go on to say that where there is mourning, there is vigilance. If you mourn for your sins, you will be vigilant against falling into greater sins. I mean, just as St. Teresa of Avila had mentioned, that one that is faithful to meditation each day will not fall into mortal sin. Because you're thinking of the things of God. You realize how important that is. And so therefore, you will not offend God. You will not fall from that grace. And so since it is a grace, a gift from God, you know, it's not coming from our own efforts. But what can we do to try to gain that? What can we try to do to gain this idea of penthos, of mourning? St. John Climacus, in his book, Ladder of Divine Ascent, he gives us three ideas. He says, meditate on the last ends. Meditate upon our last end. This whole idea of, you know, heaven, hell, judgment. All of these things, to think about that. Lent is a good time period to do so. And so he says that will help us to try to gain that gift. Mortification will be another. To mortify oneself. Mortify against maybe the pleasures of this world, yes, by all means. But even just to mortify our senses, not being, you know, too curious about things, always looking for this or that, searching for things, always wanting to know what is the latest gossip or different things. Who cares? Mortify the senses. It is an obligation that we have. If we just give in to all of these things, we're going to be wrapped up with the world. And so therefore, he tells us to mortify ourselves. And granted, during this time period of Lent, you're already doing so somewhat. God willing that you are trying to mortify our passions, mortify our desires. And then finally, he says, to meditate upon the passion of our Lord. St. John Climacus basically sums it up, and if you want to ascend this divine ladder, you must meditate upon the passion of our Lord. You must consider that. And as I say, hopefully you can do it without having to watch a movie to do it, having Hollywood tell you what it's all about. We have sacred scripture. We have the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, to help us to understand that. So as I say, I encourage you to try to read sacred scripture, especially during this time period, these last 2 weeks. Take advantage of what God gives to us. That extra time maybe that you spend upon reading sacred scripture, God will give you graces. God will help you with your duty of state if you put forth that effort. But if not, you know, we kind of just sail along and then all of a sudden, you know, it's Easter and then we just celebrate Easter. We have to go through the passion of our Lord to get to his resurrection. We can't skip it. It's not like playing Monopoly where you skip jail. You can't do that. You have to go through the passion in order to get to the resurrection. And so it's a must for us to meditate and to think about that. And so finally, let us turn to Our Lady of Sorrows. This Friday will be her feast day. It is fitting that Holy Mother of the Church, not only is it celebrated on September 15th, right after the exaltation of the Holy Cross, but then they parallel and put Our Lady of Sorrows to be celebrated during the time period of Passiontide. Holy Mother of the Church knows what she's doing when she puts these feasts together. And so it is specifically a time period, a Passiontide, when we think about the cross, we think about what our Lord suffered, and here we have his faithful mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, who suffered all of these things for the good of our souls, for the good of Holy Mother of the Church, and she was there faithfully to the very end. As I mentioned to you before, she was the first one to make the way of the cross. She suffered so much in watching her son die on the cross. In realizing that we have nailed the salvation of the world to the wood of the cross. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.